T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
A lot of choices. You went with this one, huh?
Yeah, that's good. This is really good.
You said you wanted Hall & Oates. This is favorite Hall & Oates song.
It's a long intro on this song.
Just let it ride. I don't have anywhere to go. There we go.
Here it comes. We've bullied Nick into playing licensed music.
Producer that decided to work on our show for a few days this week. Played some great music yesterday. We said the bar has been raised. No more royalty-free music, so I appreciate
far we've gotten...
Nick, it's been strong today since you decided to actually do it.
What have we got? Hall & Oates, Stacey Q, and...
Boy George.
Boy George, you played... Comma Chameleon.
We'll get to the snitch line here on a Friday, coming up. 10 minutes or so, 913-586 snitch line here on Cody and Gold. But last night I was watching the Hall of Fame game, and yes, I honestly watched the entire thing. Football on. I was doing the first quarter I was watching, and then I was doing other things as the game was going on. It was background. It was just nice to have
vacuuming or something?
Not vacuuming. I just was on the laptop. I was planning some other stuff out, and like it was nice to have football there. It was nice to hear Chris Collinsworth, Mike Tirico. I know Al Michaels not part of the crew anymore. It was still
Jack
just nice.
Jack Collinsworth.
Star
of the show.
Definitely star of the show.
He's Harrison, been on Tony Dungy. Jack Collinsworth has been on this
he
show.
He has been on the show. You know who actually
Why? Because he's the only guy from NBC that we can get?
Correct.
Yeah, correct.
you know who was...
Yes. We had requested many other people, but they gave us Jack Collinsworth.
You know who was actually good last night? We'll see how the season goes on, but there was a rain delay, so they were stalling, you know, for 35 minutes or whatever, and so then it turns into essentially sports talk radio as they were going through just a wide variety of storylines and things like that. Jason Garrett, former Cowboys coach, former Giants coordinator last year, I guess it was. He was actually pretty good in the on the studio show that they had. He took Drew Brees' spot, Drew Brees, after 1 year. Anyway, I bring this up because with about 30 seconds to go in the game last night, Chris Collinsworth and Mike Tirico are talking about the Bills, who are Super Bowl favorites, and they're talking about that being, you know, should they be the favorite? And Collinsworth is mentioning how he really likes an NFC team to win the Super Bowl because there's less teams in the way, is how he phrased it. Versus, he goes, the AFC, it's so crowded. He said 13 teams could win could win the Super Bowl this year out of the AFC.
And you thought, wait, how many?
It's like 13, Chris. I'm like, that means you believe between the Steelers, the Jags, the Jets, and Texans, one of them actually has a real chance.
Which one do you think of those teams he thought did? He thinks
the
two
Jags.
Of those
teams. He was really talking with the Jags. He really believes Doug Peterson. I do think the Jags will win quite a few more games than the three that they won last
Super
year.
Super Bowl,
but not Super Bowl. No, they're 44-1 to get to the Super Bowl. By the way, so no. Okay, so realistically, 13 we both can laugh at. We think that's crazy. How many teams? Not that you would feel confident putting down $100 on them to win the Super Bowl, but where you can talk yourself into a scenario where they have a chance to win a Super Bowl out of the
Six.
AFC. Because Buffalo, Kansas City, Chargers, 1, 2, 3, we all agree, chance, right?
Six. It's 3 in the AFC West, everybody but the Raiders, the Ravens, the Colts. Because they were, you know, I know they didn't go to the postseason last year, but I can see enough things. If you want to try to talk me into the long shot to get the Stafford roll going, right, things happen. And we know Cincinnati and Buffalo. I don't think the Titans can win the Super Bowl. I just don't think they're good enough. I don't, like, if you want to give me like 0.001% chance, fine. I'm entertaining real chances, people that I don't have to create 1,000 fake scenarios for in order to do it. Just assume a couple of things go pretty well, and then they're there. The only one we haven't talked about that I guess maybe I'm supposed to...
Well, I haven't even given you mine.
The
yeah,
Raiders should maybe be on the list. And I don't know if I'm supposed to entertain the Patriots. I guess if Mac Jones... Like, if Mac Jones made a huge leap forward, then yeah. But I... Unless I haven't, if I haven't seen that, then why am I supposed to put them in this list?
So it's more than six teams for me, just in terms of that you can talk me into it. I still think
some are
far-fetched, of course, but not impossible. Like, the ones we can all cross off to me are Cleveland, Miami, Pittsburgh, Jacksonville, the Jets, and the Texans. And then
well, and the Chiefs, obviously, but we didn't mention it either, but we know that. No,
to win the Super Bowl, the Chiefs are included. We don't have to cross off the Chiefs.
No, I'm saying, Oh, yeah. I was just saying to put them on the list. I forgot we didn't put them on there. Anyway,
so, Buffalo, Kansas City, Chargers are the first three. Then I'm with you on Denver, Baltimore, and Cincinnati. And then it gets interesting to me. It's like, are you adding the Colts, the Titans, the Raiders, or the Patriots? And I'm willing to add the Raiders to this. I'm willing to add the Colts, and I'm willing to add the Tennessee Titans still. Not that
I
would put money.
Nine.
I do think it's nine teams. Again, just be important. The conversation last night with Chris Collinsworth is how it's all phrased. Chris Collinsworth is not going to tell you that he thinks even the 13th team has a great shot to do it. But like, where it's how many teams are actually in the conversation? You can come up with a conversation to me for even the Raiders, given the talent that they have, to actually get there. We can roll our eyes all we want, but you can come up with a conversation. I can't do that for the Dolphins or the Steelers or the Jags or the Jets or the Texans. I feel like I can easily give you scenarios for the Bills, the Chiefs, the Chargers, and the Broncos and the Ravens and the Bengals, who are just there. And then you can have some deeper discussions on the Colts, Titans, and Raiders. But I don't think even the Colts, Titans, and Raiders are like way crazy, like you're out of your damn mind. In fact, the odds will even tell you there's a clear separation after those teams. So the Raiders are 25-1. The Titans are 15-1. The Colts are 12-1. This is not to win the Super Bowl. I apologize. To get to the Super Bowl. That's the odds to get to the Super Bowl. Whereas once you get past the Raiders at 25-1, then it drops to 40-1, 44. So there's a clear distinction even from the Raiders to the Pittsburgh Steelers. If you think the teams in the AFC,
it's nine is pretty significant, because it sounds like you're talking yourself into it's borderline 10. I just don't think they're... I think if you have a fatal flaw that I can recognize, or you don't have a top seven quarterback in the NFL with a team that I don't think has a different fatal, or top 12, right? The Derek Carr level quarterback, I need to not think that you have a major flaw. They have a major flaw in the secondary. It's a huge problem. They were good everywhere, or pretty good everywhere all around, and had that quarterback fine. For the Titans, they have a fatal flaw.
What's their fatal flaw?
The Colts, who?
The Titans. What's their fatal flaw? Because everybody will bring up A.J. Brown and not having him. Yeah, I will point out A.J. Brown and last year, Julio Jones, how many games did those guys miss last year? We act like the A.J. Brown was there the
Julio
entire...
Jones, they should have known he was going to miss time.
But how many games did A.J. Brown actually contribute? Of course, come playoff time, we were all talking about having A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry back, but it's not... A.J. Brown is an incredible wide receiver. He played in 13 games and had 869 yards a season ago. Duh, they're better with A.J. Brown. I'm not making that case. But the acknowledgement that their whole offense falls apart without him, I'll push back on that, because with the record that they had a year ago, it wasn't as if A.J. Brown was a 1,000-yard receiver even a year ago.
I also don't think... I would say that to me is their biggest flaw, but I also don't think Ryan Tannehill is as good as Derek Carr. So the level of difference I need to see in where they go down reduces. Nick, do you think it's 10? Do you think it's 9? 6? 13? Like Collinsworth?
It's definitely not 13. I'm with you on the Titans. I think the Titans, like most teams, like when you have a window, it probably lasts 3 years. And I think their window just closed. Not necessarily just because of A.J. Brown. Derrick Henry's coming off a serious injury. I think he might be the Adrian Peterson type that's just going to be able to play till he's 33. But in terms of that offense, Ryan Tannehill, I'm not convinced that he's going to continue to play at a high enough level to make them legit contenders.
Look, I just think if you're going to throw the Colts in there, then I'm going to still throw the Titans. Like, if you're going to tell me you're confident including...
I would put the Raiders in before both of those teams.
Matt Ryan has had a significantly better career than Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, but we're not talking about full careers at this point. We're talking about for this season. Like, I don't care what Ryan Tannehill was 5 years ago, and I don't care what Matt Ryan was 8 years ago.
There's a big difference between saying, I think the Colts could win 11 games versus, can I see them winning the Super Bowl? Like, can I close my eyes
the test
and imagine Matt Ryan hoisting up the Lombardi trophy? No.
They actually had really similar stats last year, although Matt Ryan had more touchdowns, less interceptions, and more yards.
Do you guys legitimately?
He was better in all the statistical categories.
Do you guys legitimately believe that any of the four teams from the AFC West could win the Super Bowl?
Everyone but the Raiders.
I think anybody in the AFC West can. If you come out of the AFC West, that's the thing. Like right now, it sounds silly to bring up the Raiders, but in the scenario Nick just put out there, could all four win? Meaning, if the Raiders got out of the AFC West, would I think it? Meaning they're probably winning 10-plus games if they come out of the AFC West.
Yeah.
Do I think it's that crazy for them to go on? No, absolutely not.
Because if you make the playoffs,
we also just saw what Cincinnati did in the playoffs. I know it's not going to happen every year. But we also just saw what they did in terms of nobody gave them a chance, even in the playoffs, to go to the Super Bowl. And they found a way to get there. They didn't win it, but they got there.
I still think the Burrow, it's tough because, like, Burrow versus Carr to me, it's like there's a separation there that. And I don't even think Derek Carr is a bad quarterback. And they obviously just added as good of a weapon as you can add in the NFL for an offense for a quarterback who had 4,800 yards last year, half of a season of which was spent with a fill-in quarterback. Like, and Gruden, who I thought brought some pretty archaic offensive schemes to the unit. So I should think that they're better. I also have a hang up with them on their coach. Because of all the teams you mean,
yeah, filling coach. They didn't have filling quarterback last year. Filling coach. The Raiders?
Raider coach. Yeah.
Okay.
So when I look at, those four teams you mentioned, the Patriots, the Colts, the Raiders, and who was the fourth one? It doesn't matter. It's like rank them in order, right? This is the conversation you're having. Of those teams, Gold, how would you rank their head coaches? I'm assuming the Patriots are one, right? You think their coach is the best. Then out of the remaining group of those, the Tennessee, the Mike Vrabel, Frank Reich, and Josh McDaniels, how do you rank them? And I have McDaniels last.
So do I. Yeah.
Last
so
out of all four. That's where my hang up is. So when you're saying close your eyes and envision the Raiders in a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It's that even of those four teams that we're kicking around right now, the coach I have dead last, and that is McDaniels.
Yeah, I can't dispute that. I mean, because I think Mike Vrabel is a very, very good head coach, and then the other one's Bill Belichick, who's the greatest coach of all time. So I mean,
I'm not going to put him above that.
So,
yeah.
By the way, being last in that group doesn't mean you're crap, though. Like that's the only thing. It's like
at best you could say McDaniels is an unknown.
Yeah,
that's the best case scenario you can say. I don't know anything about him. I think you make strong arguments that he stinks. But I think that the best you can't be like he's good. He's a really good head coach.
I include the Broncos, but you bring up coaching there. It's a different conversation. But that was my issue when we talked earlier about
Hackett. We don't know anything about Hackett.
About the Broncos versus Chargers, and Russell Wilson, no doubt, is an upgrade from what they've had. But Hackett is a complete unknown. He could be a Hall of Fame head coach one day, but I know nothing about him as a head coach. Nobody does yet. We're gonna find out. As the season goes on, we just don't know.
I guess the difference, because you're saying, okay, yeah, why let the Broncos have a chance to do it versus that? Well, Russell Wilson versus Carr, there's some separation there. But also, the Broncos had the other pieces in place the Raiders did in the entire year. The Broncos had the number two scoring defense in all the NFL last year. I know they're missing Von Miller, but they had the number two scoring defense in the NFL. Like, I mean, that matters. They still have a good, the thing we don't know, you're right, is Hackett. We don't know if the offensive scheme and the talent they have around it will all mesh. So maybe if I'm including the Broncos, I probably should also include the Raiders because I don't know. I know about as much about McDaniels as a head coach probably at this point because it's been a decade as I do about Hackett, who's never been a head coach. And McDaniels' tenure as a head coach was pretty short-lived.
Coming up in about 6 minutes or so, we'll get to the franchise, the Chiefs show that they put out every year throughout the season. Episode one was last night. The great job that the video production crew does for the Chiefs, basically their own version of Hard Knocks. And you could argue with not where Hard Knocks is at nowadays. Like the Chiefs one is not far off, if not better than what Hard Knocks has been producing.
Better for us
here
because
recently.
We care about the people involved.
We care about the people involved, but Hard Knocks cuts out so much stuff now, and obviously the Chiefs do as well. But that's my point is like Hard Knocks is not unfiltered access really anymore. They certainly cut a lot of things out. So it's not much different than
produced. Antonio Brown complaining about his helmet or his foot or getting cryotherapy. None of that.
So we'll get to what happened last night of the episode because we every year we keep track of, we keep track of where things are at for our appearances on the franchise.
So the first episode, we got to start keeping count again.
So we'll do that here in just a little bit. But it is time right now for the 610 Snitch Line.
You've called the snitch line.
And if I have to tell you again, we're going to take it outside and I'm going to show you what it's like.
913-662-1270.
Leave him alone!
Please leave your message for Thursdays at 1:15 on Cody and Gold.
And if you think I'm kidding, just try me. Try me.
So we're good?
913-586-7610. I'm so glad it wasn't that infomercial or whatever played the last couple of times we tried to do the snitch line.
Was it Kenya or... I don't remember.
Don't play it.
There's a child in Kenya.
Or Sierra Leone.
Yeah, that's
don't
what
just,
it was.
Not just Kenya. There's other options.
Oh, man.
Why is that so...
That woman is our the fourth member of Cody and Gold, unofficially.
Why is that so readily available? Why can you play that so quickly?
Because it's under the hotkey, right?
Yes. You know what it somehow, is? When I was importing the hotkey, that, which I have no idea what it even is... got imported instead.
This is
of
why
the
we didn't do the snitch line yesterday.
I refused like,
hey,
to change
Chad,
it.
We're going to do the snitch line. And then that thing would have played again like it did when Colin filled in for
There's
you.
There's a child
once.
In Kenya.
That's going to be so annoying.
There is a child in Kenya. There is a child in Kenya.
And I think people need to be reminded of that, that there is a child in Kenya.
Or Sri Lanka.
Or Sierra Leone.
Sierra Leone.
Oh,
get it right.
Not Sri Lanka. I apologize.
Wow. No children
Sri Lanka,
in Sri Lanka.
Sri Lanka's been in the news recently. Bad stuff going on over there. Anyway.
Very political.
Not political.
You had to bring it up.
Cody's the one that was talking about hanging political flags.
I tried not to talk
house.
About it. You asked me. I tried to leave it out of the show.
Your glasses are fogging
Friday.
Up again. Your glasses are fogging up again, Cody. You're about to lose control again. You know what? My glasses
Why
don't fog.
Push me?
I don't have to wear glasses. They don't fog up anymore. I don't need them anymore. Thanks to my friends over at Dury. You should try that, Cody, because your glasses have fogged up throughout the entire show today. Can you see without them?
Yeah, I can see. What do you mean?
Someone says, stop getting excited, Cody.
I can't. I don't. I'm a very giggly person. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but today you've taken it to a different level.
Did Dusty give you...
Maybe
Dusty
just tired or
Dusty
something.
Dusty was here earlier
Our
today.
Our boss offered us some CBD oil before the show.
Well, that wouldn't do it. Dusty had other things,
Should
I think.
I admit but like, that on the but, air.
CBD oil. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing illegal about CBD oil. There's no THC in it. It's just CBD oil. There's nothing terrible about that.
Well, the snitch line's open. 913-586-7610.
You just snitched, all right.
You
did snitch.
I did. I started it off by saying that our boss gave us that. I feel like that's appropriate. You have asked people on the snitch line to say some of the things that we might not have heard that Nick said yesterday or on Tuesday on the show. I think that would be important. Or if you think we said something about Nick that he needs to know about now, that's also on the table. 913-586-7610, both the phone and text line number over on the 610 snitch line.
From the 816 says there is this individual says there's a super religious guy they work with who was a missionary to Kenya who heard their speaker a second ago playing. He says, I'm cracking up. He goes, that's not funny. Made my day.
We so didn't even say anything. All it says is there's a child in Kenya. That's not offensive.
Yeah, that's all it says.
But by the way, if you can offend anybody, if it's just us playing a clip that says
there's a child in Kenya,
and then we start
laughing. Hey, we don't laugh about that.
That there are children in Kenya?
Yes.
And it's not funny. It's not funny.
Okay.
One bit.
I'm offended. I don't know why you guys think that I said anything about you guys. All I did was sing your praises.
You,
I would talk about things earlier today on Cody and Gold, they were talking about this, and it was great.
I did hear that. Nick was on the drive 2 days this week. He almost worked more on another show than our show this week.
He'll be on the drive for a third day this week.
Yeah, that's right. They're calling me back.
Oh, you're going to do the ox cord battle.
Against Steven Spector.
Do you have the categories yet?
I do.
Ooh, okay.
Based on your song choices bumping us back, are you in trouble?
Well, I was promised I would get them at 11:30, and I got them at 12:45.
That's still earlier than the last time I got them. Normally so you should actually count that as a big win.
Yeah, normally you find out at like 1:15. So.
Have you been taking time during this show to do it?
No, I took time during the break, but...
Okay, I'll allow that. That's still technically during this show, but
thanks.
Fine.
And again, you don't like you're not the boss of me, Cody. I'll allow it.
Okay.
I know you guys were running your mouth. I heard
running
you guys
your
running
your mouth.
Yeah, you were. You guys have
all we did was threaten your job and title and position.
Oh yeah. Other than that, though.
No, I think it was more about. I think it was more like what we like to do. We like to build people up, and so I think it was more about building Jed, who did a great job yesterday and the day before. It was more about building him up than tearing you down, Nick. You're not cool with us building somebody up.
No, I'm totally fine with that, and I think Jed's great. I think he's a great person to have on our team.
I think the only way to build someone up is to tear someone else down.
When
so that's
I knew,
why
when I, knew
like
I was going to be gone, Jed's the first person I called. I said, hey, man, they need a ringer. And I know you've got
what
it
takes.
Here
we go. Now we're getting to the bottom of it. From the 913, they heard Nick yesterday on the drive say he's had more talent, better looking than the entire 610 crew.
Everyone? Wow, not just our show.
Someone says, then again, it's not snitching. He's telling the truth.
Well,
your thoughts?
I didn't say that, but who am I to argue with this person on their assessment of the situation?
But this person is saying you said that.
Well, I didn't say that, but if that's what they think is true, then that's their opinion.
No, that's what they said.
You said it.
Well, I didn't say that.
So
you're only agreeing with part of this.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with their assessment, not of their accusation.
Okay.
Now, the text line always tells the truth. I've never known them to lie.
As I said, the text line is, generally speaking, always right. As we've said, the text line really is 913-586-7610. Did you catch any of the... you want to go with that one? You want to stay away?
I just said, from the 785, snitching on Cody for being a pro-labor but living in a bougie neighborhood. Neoliberal ass.
Yeah.
I don't even know what happened.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
That's how you feel? Well, you should come out and say it, Nick. Who'd you vote for? Snitch line time. Who'd you vote for?
When you legally voted
on Tuesday.
Who did I vote for?
When did you vote for and who did you vote for when you illegally elected on Tuesday?
I illegally voted in the wrong district.
I actually voted for both parties.
That actually literally would have been impossible as a primary.
So you illegally voted twice. Oh. You both illegally voted in the way you're supposed to.
In the primary, you could not have voted for both
parties. Well, I was just sitting there and I was like, wow, both sides are making really good points. I wish there was a way they could both be, you know, our senator and both be our representative.
So you tried to vote for both.
Yeah, you know.
There were a couple write-in spots. I almost put in Nick's name on a few of them, you know?
I actually know one of the guys that's running for one of the districts. I used to work with him.
Huh.
Was he nice to work with?
Very nice. Hope he won. Haven't checked.
Sounds like you really care.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, the franchise had episode one. And last year, if you guys remember during the season, we were joking around. Nick was trying to get on the franchise because Cody and I had some audio clips that made it on the Chiefs production. Last year, Nick, I believe you were recording a lot of lines mentioning GEHA Field at Arrowhead, hoping that they would hear it and you'd get in. Last night, I must say, myself, Kling, and C-Dot, all voices made appearances. I'm guessing next week, Cody, I'm sure next week we'll hear Cody. The question is, will we hear Nick in a week or so? But this is clip number one. It's always funny how some poor soul just sitting around and going scrubbing to see how it fits the video.
Beautiful day up here in St. Joe. Hopefully you have a chance to come out over the next couple of weeks. First day up here for Chiefs training camp. We know who's not here today. Obviously, Orlando Brown Jr. not at training camp yet. Nobody's really expecting it to happen anytime soon. A lot of fun seeing the fans out here. And, of course, the pads come on Monday.
You literally said nothing in that entire clip.
It hardly even sounds like you.
I was setting the scene.
Sounds tinny.
I know. Yeah, this was from the setting the scene. This was the other clip.
One thing I do want to point out, you and I have seen this every day after practice. When practice ends, Frank Clark and George Karloftis kind of go on their own on the side, and they hang out a little bit, and Frank is talking to Karloftis. That's happened 3 days in a row.
Look where we at. Look where we at. Look where we at. We here. You here. Windshield wipers. Windshield wipers. Uh-huh. Wax on, wax off, baby. Yeah. Mr. Miyagi, baby.
You gotta trust that hit.
Okay.
That's gonna go with you.
Backside.
So once you plant, you gotta.
That's exactly what you want to see from a veteran trying to help your rookie get adjusted to the NFL. This is not just a one-off thing. This has been happening every day.
I don't know if I've mentioned this, but the franchise is an amazing...
I'm sure you feel that way today. They didn't use a single clip from me.
It's an amazing...
I'm not from Nick.
Amazing
well,
show
I did,
from the Chiefs.
I was featured in not only the opening episode, but the trailer of their summer series, their
you
off-season
were.
Series.
This is true. That's accurate. But I mean, I just think episode... Great work. Great work by them. And my favorite clip actually is when they use Kling. They were talking about Orlando Brown Jr. Listen to this.
Meanwhile, Orlando Brown's back in the fold. Orlando Brown Jr. will report to Chiefs camp today and play on the franchise tag. Sources close to Brown say he is, quote, in the best shape of his life.
He's legit in shape. Looks good, man. He's got a great, great mindset, too. Great attitude.
You're discounting the fact that Dusty is also featured.
Well,
in that.
I think I'm pretty sure
that's Dusty who says "ding."
Yeah, the funny part to me is
I had no. I'm sorry, I couldn't make out the "ding" sound effect.
I heard it, but I think what's interesting is Kling is clearly being sarcastic.
that's why it's my favorite
in
clip,
and the Chiefs used it in there in a serious manner.
And right after, it's Brett Veach saying how good of shape Orlando Brown looks. So that's my favorite cut from the franchise.
I guess what's good here means there's a little more wiggle room. That means we can say some different stuff. So next week, should we once again attempt
C-Dot
to
was
get
on, it too.
On the franchise?
Yeah, C-Dot made an appearance as well.
The story for this team, nationally and locally, is wide receiver. There's going to be different days where we look at who the number one's going to be differently, how they're being used, and who is Mahomes developing trust in. Do he and Juju hit it off on the right foot early? Do he and MVS hit it off early in this process?
Franchise, episode one, YouTube last night. Next week, we'll see who makes it. That's a 2-0. That's a 2-0. That's a 2-0 start.
Nope. I get one for the offseason.
Oh, this is a new season. Yeah.
No, this is still the offseason, though.
Camp to me, when camp starts, it even says episode one.
All right, you can get two, but I get one for earlier.
It even says episode one.
No, he just said no.
It says episode one.
I know he said no.
It's a new start. It starts the clock again. Next week, I guarantee you, Cody's going to be probably have his voice on there. That'll be a 1-0 or 2-0 start for him.
I mean, I'd make a bet with you, but there's no way now that you're up 2-0. I can't make that bet. That's not smart. That's not good money.
All season. But usually what happens is once the season starts, they, understandably so, just use Mitch Holthus highlights and cuts. Now they need some narration to go with the training camp stuff. Even next week will be different, or 2 weeks from now.
Our best chance is week one is around the corner.
Oh, yeah.
The Chiefs are, you know, like, we got to do that stuff. We got to start doing that stuff in the lead up because that's what they're going to want to use is around the corner. They can use that whenever.
I already got something ready for next week heading into the preseason game. I already got something rolling.
We've learned it never works. It never works when you try.
True. But I already know what could be.
They can't just use highlights of me laughing uncontrollably for 45 minutes in the show. I'm never going to get on the franchise based on this effort alone today.
Heading into the preseason game. So like the next, after the preseason game, they'll have episode three, and it'll show clips of the hot, you know, clips of the game. So if you say something,
you got to make guesses for about a player.
I think
you
talk about like on Saturday. This is about the rookies. It's about the rookies' time to shine. I want to see McDuffie. I want to see Carl, like something like that. That might get used because then they'll show some highlights of them playing against the Bears.
I think I'm just going to actively predict something so they can use it. I can't believe that sack George Karloftis got. Even though he hasn't gotten it yet, I'm just hoping that, you know, they won't want to go find that clip later. That's too much time to edit. I'm just going to predict
You're
things that happen.
You're talking too
so
long. See, now they can't use that clip.
No, I just meant next week. I'm not auditioning yet.
Okay.
That's next week. You don't think they can use that clip? You got to go slow, too. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What a sack from George Karloftis. You got to take your time.
True.
It's always scene setting stuff.
That's what it is right now. Right now, that's the key. Right now, this is scene setting season. Mm-hmm. And then you move deeper into it. All right, coming up next, we'll get to what's trending here on Cody and Golden. We'll also get into why one team is trying to recreate the Chiefs defense from 2021. Yeah, apparently it's happening. Next.
Cody and Gold, live from training camp, presented by Ingredion, located in North Kansas City. Learn more about a career at Ingredion.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
Number one on What's Trending, the Royals taking on the Red Sox again tonight at Kauffman Stadium, part of the four-game series. Zach Greinke gets the nod tonight at Kauffman. Of course, Vern's on deck show at 6 o'clock. He'll get you set. It's the Royals trying to win another game here against Boston after a 7-3 win. Good pitching from Chris Bubich. Obviously, it was cool to see Eric Hosmer return to Kauffman Stadium. And I know the Royals are really pushing that. If you've seen any of the emails or social media, they're really pushing Eric Hosmer's return, trying to drive people out to Kauffman Stadium, not only to welcome him back. Yeah, he did. Welcome him back, but also see some of these young players. The future, really, it is. The future is now, hopefully, in terms of a lot of these guys we're hopefully being talking about for years and years to come, being why this Royals team can get back to some of those memories that we had in 2014 and 2015 and competitive baseball in Kansas City. Long ways to go, but there's definitely some pieces that you should be excited about.
It's a crazy young, all homegrown team on the field right now. I know that people get tired because they don't want to get stuck in the same trap. Look, good baseball. Yeah. They're not even playing that good of baseball. They're playing mediocre baseball right now. We don't have to openly applaud mediocre baseball being played by a bunch of young players. We want to see actual strides. Singer and Bubich at least are showing some strides of the ability to be consistent. It's not overwhelming. Chris Bubich making 4 quality starts in a row is nice, but you certainly need to still see that upper level movement that we've seen from Brady Singer. So we're just looking for those kinds of things for the rest of the year. I'm not going to let this make me say in spring, here it comes, they're all fixed. But there are a lot more fun players to watch at the K right now, I think, just with how young the team is. Next up on What's Trending, Sean McVay said yesterday that Stafford's elbow pain is a bit abnormal for a quarterback, likening that to a Major League Baseball pitcher. He dealt with this for a lot of last year. They're trying a new regimen to try to get that pain in check. The concern is always, it hasn't gone away. You'd hoped a full year, a full offseason, all that stuff. You just wake up, and the next offseason, they'd have gotten it under control. But no, still looking for a solution for why that elbow pain would continue. Didn't stop him from winning the Super Bowl last year. You really just worry about whether or not it continues moving forward, or if it becomes a bigger problem. It ain't great.
No,
but also McVay tried to downplay it a little bit yesterday.
Yeah, like definitely not overall like freak out mode yet, but
it's not a 10 on the concern scale.
It's not what you want to hear.
No,
even a month out of the start of the season, as we always joke, it's like it is something to monitor out there in LA. Who they open up the season has been a Thursday against the Buffalo Bills. And as a Chiefs fan, definitely will be rooting for the LA Rams to have a healthy Matthew Stafford against Josh Allen and the Bills, because it may seem like it doesn't matter, but yes, the Bills starting 0-1 might actually matter when it's all said and done at the end of the season. I would prefer them losing to the Rams on opening night.
Take any Bills losses we
exactly.
can get.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like you gotta make sure that it actually is something that
that game was in Buffalo last year. I don't think the Chiefs won it. The playoff game last year was in Buffalo. I don't think the Chiefs won that game.
Not with Fanny. Well, yeah. 13-second drive doesn't happen. Probably just doesn't happen.
I don't even know that. I think it might just be like a regular run-of-the-mill, you know, 4 or 5-point Buffalo win. That's all.
Next up on What's Trending, we know ongoing is the Deshaun Watson situation with the NFL. So the NFLPA now has 2 more days to respond to the appeal from the NFL. The New Jersey Attorney General Peter Harvey is who will now hear the appeal, the NFL appointing him. He's been involved with the NFL in the past. We know now the NFL is seeking a 1-year suspension and a fine. We know initially it's a 6-game suspension for Deshaun Watson. The season is a little over a month away. You would think this thing has to be resolved in the next 2-3 weeks or so. And then that still doesn't mean that the NFLPA would choose to not file a federal lawsuit, but it seems unlikely that the suspension is going to just sit at 6 games. I think it gets bumped to 12. I know you believe it's a year. I think the NFL we know the NFL once a year. I just could see the individual in charge of this kind of splitting the difference, not going fully to the opposite direction and saying, all right, 12, that's what you guys were trying to settle on before. You turned down that offer. No, it's going to be 12 and a fine. We'll see.
I still think it'll be a year. Well, I mean, they offered 12. That's why I think it's a year. They're like, should have taken it, man. Tough. Now, because we really wanted a year. We were just willing to go to 12, and now right. You weren't, so fine. We'll go this direction.
That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Of course, we'll hand things off to CDOT on the drive in about 20 minutes or so. He'll take over and lead you right up to Vern's On Deck show as the Royals, as we said, will take on the Boston Red Sox. You had quote tweeted something yesterday. I was like, is this actually real? It was a quote from Jeremy, a tweet from Jeremy Fowler talking about the Saints and working out a bunch of veteran linebackers, Kiko Alonso, former Chief Anthony Hitchens. And you think they're trying to basically go with the same type of strategy as the Chiefs did in 21.
If they sign Anthony Hitchens, three of their starting 11 players will be on the Kansas City Chiefs defense from last season. They already signed Tyrann Mathieu and Daniel Sorensen, so they've already created the back half of their secondary. And then if they add Anthony Hitchens, what the hell are they doing? They do realize that the Chiefs defense last year wasn't all that good, right? Like, who recreates a bad version?
Yeah.
And like, if you're trying to steal somebody else's team, it kind of makes sense. But I thought people are kind of high on the Saints this year because, like, there's no competition in the division.
I am one of them.
Jameis is going to – are you sure they're trying to recreate the Chiefs defense?
So two things. One, I am actually based off of where their win total is at. I actually would not be surprised if they surprise people and end up as a playoff team. A lot of people are high on the Panthers to come out as a playoff team. I'm not as much. I actually think the Saints with Winston and Michael Thomas, Kamara, yes, some injury concerns, but talent level and a head coach that, while he might be a new head coach, he's been there for 10 years or so.
Has he ever been a head coach?
So I don't believe so.
Like 10, 15 years ago, I just don't remember it.
He wasn't the one that for a stint with the Raiders, was he?
I feel like maybe he was an interim coach or something.
Anyway.
Doesn't really matter.
It looks like they signed Kiko Alonso, not Anthony Hitchens, by the way. So they're not fully going all in, but you're correct. They were heading down that path.
I'm just trying to think of like how bad it'd be. Like, you know what I want to do?
He was with the Raiders. Right. He was with the Raiders for two years.
I want to take all the Jets offensive players and I want to create a super offense. You're like, that sounds like a horrible idea. I wouldn't do that. I would recommend against recreating the Chiefs' defensive strategy from last year. They ended up being average to below average, not historically awful gold like they were for the first, 6 weeks of the season last year. But that still doesn't feel like the methodology behind it, other than the fact Dennis Allen's going to fall into the exact same trap that we accuse Spags of falling into, which is, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to load up a defense full of veteran players, and they'll figure it out, and we won't be that bad. And you're like, that's not a good strategy. I much prefer this version of the Chiefs defense. Let's go super young and make mistakes and hope for the best. That doesn't seem all that bad.
Yeah, I look at the Saints as a whole. If you look at a division that's very weak, we all agree. The Bucs are clear favorites, as they should be, but now starting to see, I'm not saying the Saints are winning the division, but are the Bucs the automatic, you're getting swept by them? I'm not so sure. Godwin is still a question. Mike Evans now has got a hamstring issue.
I don't practice for the first time.
Yeah, and we know the unfortunate injury to Jensen, their center. Worf seemed like a much minor thing, but Jensen, their best offensive lineman, is now out, going to be out for a long time, if not the season, I believe it is. And what's life without Gronk? Like, there's just some questions there. They're going to win the division still, but are they going to run through it and win 14 games? Kind of Bucks team. I don't think so. They're win
no,
total.
I think it's like Tom Brady's been actively trying to recruit even more players to his team. He knows they're not good enough.
Yeah, their win total is 11.5, and 86% of the money is on the under. Like, the public doesn't think the Bucks are winning 12 plus games. Now, that's scary to bet against Brady. We've all learned our lesson on that over the last 15 years.
I always think, but here's one thing you know about Brady. He always makes it very clear when he knows it's not good enough. Because in those years he brought in Antonio Brown and stuff, he's like, all right, we need a couple more pieces, and then we're there, and we'll be there. And then in New England, the only times you heard him complaining about the players around him were in those last few years of New England when he knew that the teams weren't good enough to win a Super Bowl. And then in this previous offseason, he tried to get himself to Miami, where he saw all the talent they had and the possibility for more, because he'd have been more than happy to spend some of their draft picks the way they did on guys like Tyreek Hill. Think about how we'd be talking about Miami if they had Tom Brady instead of Tua right now.
Right, but also that.
And he also shoved Bruce Arians out of the way. He knows they're not good enough. That's why I don't think.
I was going to say, I think the reason why he was trying to get out, I think it was more, the only reason why he came back is once he got assurance that Bruce Arians also wasn't going to be around. So when that rumor was coming out about the Miami stuff, Bruce Arians was still the head coach.
What a swell dude, Tom Brady. Cheated a bunch, then got himself to Tampa Bay. And then when he's like, well, I'd like back, but I'm going to try to cheat my way out of the town again. Oh, I can't? Fine, I want the coach fired, if you don't mind. All right, thanks. Appreciate it, guys. I mean, I know that it's all done in the service of winning, so we're supposed to just forgive it. But this goes back to, like, the Michael Jordan Last Dance documentary. I'm like, you can win and also not be the world's biggest a-hole. Those don't have to be this. You don't have to both win all the time and be the world's biggest. Now, some would say, like, well, you just mentioned two of the most successful people of all time.
We had this discussion when The Last Dance came out, and I know you and I differed on it, certainly. And it is interesting, like, the best ones. I get with you, and I'm with you, like, in life in general. Yeah, you don't have to be a giant a-hole to be successful. I'm 1,000% with you. Clearly you don't. But it is interesting, in sports, the best basketball player ever and the best football player ever.
And arguably the best baseball player ever was a massive cheater. His name was Barry Bonds.
Just kind of interesting.
He was a nice guy, though.
No, he wasn't. He sucked. Yeah,
he was kind of a jerk. He had his own personal, like, seven locker setup and used to make people, like, shove off into the corner and stuff.
Yeah.
He sucked. He was.
He didn't want people to see him.
He was a known jerk.
Well, Cody, he didn't want people to see him shoving needles into his ass every day.
Someone says throw tiger in there.
Someone should have probably saw that.
Someone said throw tiger in there with. Now he's not an a-hole, but throw tiger in there with the best cheaters. Now they're
different kind
of cheating.
I mean, when Tiger was younger, he was not known for being very affable.
No,
like
he was known for being pretty brash.
In his older age, he has definitely changed and been more friendly to other players, but he wasn't exactly like hanging out with dudes.
No, he had a reputation for being, he was pretty.
There was that Wright Thompson story when
Here's
he was doing
though,
military training like, and he made the Marines pick up the tab.
Yeah, I mean,
that's a pretty jerk move.
I will say this, only difference on Tiger too is that is a individual sport. So, like, the nature of the sport, you truly are just looking
out. You're on
an
island.
You are looking
out. I'm on my own.
You are looking out for yourself, plain and simple, because that's what the sport is. Whereas Brady and Jordan, obviously, were on a team. Like, with Tiger, you really are only concerned about yourself. Nobody else does matter for you. When you're talking about golf, it is just you.
Yes.
Unless you're on the Ryder Cup setting. Otherwise, it is just you. That's all that matters in that sport.
Football's the opposite of that. There's just so many moving pieces. Like, at least in the NBA, it's not just you, but you're like one of seven who really matter. If your head coach matters, eight. And in the NBA, your head coach doesn't always matter. Sometimes he's just a guy who exists. It doesn't, as a reminder, remember when the, who was it? Was it the former Toronto Raptors head coach who got the NBA coach of the year?
Dwayne Casey.
And got fired?
Yeah.
Dwayne Casey, like, yeah.
Yeah.
He got NBA coach of the year, and they're like, get your ass out of here. We don't want you. Coach of the year? I don't think so.
Not good enough.
Too bad.
We know that you were the best in the world at what you did last year, but we need a little more.
We're thinking coach of the universe.
Only
so
in the NBA, man. Only
but
in the NBA, though.
To be fair, the guy they hired then won the
title. Yes, he won the title. Yeah, I know.
I know.
So they're like, see, we told you we could do better.
We were right. It's such a funny. It's just like sports. Like Brady operates in this world where it feels so self-serving. I know it's in the service of win. Right? It's for the win. It's not necessarily for him personally all the time. It's about, I want to win. He's like, I can't win if I don't like this guy. So get him the hell out. You're like, well, that's really about you. He's like, no, I can't win unless Bruce Arians gets his ass out of the head coaching chair. Give me someone else. It just feels so weird with some of those guys where we almost borderline applaud it.
Yeah.
He sucks.
Have
I guess I've been watching the Jeter doc.
That's exactly where I was headed.
He a jerk?
I was watching the Jeter doc. I watched the first episode because it was right after the Home Run Derby, I guess it would have been.
No chance I was going to watch
it. The first episode actually was decent. I've heard everybody else say the first was the best, so I'm like, well, then I don't need to watch the rest. They said the first was the best because it was more about maybe some things people didn't know. The rest is just like, everybody already knows the rest. He's not an interesting enough person. And he's not exposing something we didn't know. It's not all of a sudden admitting that one of his teammates was doing steroids in the locker. You know what I mean? Like, he's not giving out some information.
It's just like, you know what? Bernie and I were best friends. You're like, cool, man. I don't care. Sounds nice. Then we added Paul O'Neill. Fine. Like, I don't care. I don't care. But he was a boring player when he played. He thinks he deserves four-part documentary. Like, at least be interested. Like, you could be a much less. Because, like, Rodman, right, in the Bulls documentary. If there was a four-part Dennis Rodman documentary, you're like, yes. He wasn't one of the, you know, he wasn't a top, I don't know, is he a top 50 NBA player of all
what
time?
If they did,
like
what if they did a 100? What if they did a four-part Luke Longley documentary?
I don't know, I mean, depends on the...
He was Michael Jordan adjacent.
Yeah, he was.
He was around.
If he's interesting enough, you, the person, have to be interesting. That's what I, like, are you an interesting person? That's who I want to be a subject of a four-part documentary.
Would you watch a four-part Aaron Rodgers documentary?
Yes. He's super weird. There's all the family stuff, and he's going to eat ayahuasca. Yeah, yes, absolutely.
Who's more?
They follow Aaron Rodgers around. I'm in.
Who's more likable to the average NFL fan, Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers?
For me, Aaron Rodgers, but I think people relate more to Tom Brady because he seems more everyman. He's not, but he seems that way.
Over the last 3 years, I would say Tom Brady is far more likable than he ever has been. And again, a lot of it has to be with leaving the New England
Patriots.
But you
have to admit, Aaron Rodgers would be
But they immediately won a Super Bowl, and that annoys me.
Against the Chiefs, yeah.
Like, let's talk about players who are better than others, right? Calvin Johnson has been a better wide receiver than Antonio Brown. You're like, we're going to be a four-part documentary of Calvin Johnson or Antonio Brown. Brown! He's crazy! I want the crazy guy stories. There was a lot of weird stuff that happened around him all the time. Calvin Johnson mostly was quiet and played really great football.
Yeah, I mean, likable versus the doc. I mean, Tom Brady's already had a little 12-part doc come out.
I didn't watch a single episode of that.
I didn't either. I heard it was fantastic. I heard it was terrific, though, but I did not watch any of it. People have said that they did a really good job on
12
that
parts.
Isn't
12,
it? I think it's 12 parts
in,
for 12.
That's
TB12.
Too many.
I'm guessing. By the way, I just guessed it's 12 parts. I have no idea. With the fact that it's Tom
Is
Brady.
It still going? What's it called? Man in the Arena or something?
Yeah, sounds about right. I think there are 12 episodes because it's Tom Brady, you know?
What a douchey move to require it be 12 episodes.
No, I'm just making
sure. I'm
not sure on that. In fact, it's wrong. I told you I wasn't sure.
It's
10.
What a terrible move.
Should have done 12 for TB12.
12.
It's 10 for his 10 Super Bowl appearances. That make you feel better?
That's also dumb.
No, I don't know what the reason. It just happened to be 10.
If that's the reason, I also hate it.
Guy makes one freaking Creed Humphrey music video, and you think that you're a film critic now.
It might turn out that Tom Brady's really interesting and that he wasn't interesting just because he was in Tampa
Bay. I think that's...
Or because he was in New England, because that does appear to be the case.
Yes. That's exactly what's happening already.
I will give that a chance.
I think that's exactly what we've seen happen.
Versus Derek Jeter. It wasn't like New York was holding him back. He just isn't interesting. He's a boring person. I'm not interested.
Not enough detail on the gift basket.
The final
stuff. That's
word.
What I, if you're at, like, that's what I wanted
yeah,
more
talk
details
about steroid
on.
Steroid use, gift baskets?
He didn't.
Just name one celebrity you had sex with that people would be surprised by. And I'm, at least there's something there.
Unless it's a man, none of them are going to be surprising. He's had sex with every beautiful woman alive.
Oh, man.
Just like, hey, man, I'm going to list off people's 25 most beautiful women in the years you were going to back-to-back-to-back World Series. You tell me how many of them you had sex with. And do you think the answer is like 16? How high do you think the number is?
Over.
Over?
Yeah, I'd take the over as well.
Over.
1997.
He's like flipping through the pages. Next. Been there, done that.
Shortstop for the world champion New York Yankees. Yes, I'm going to go over.
Now I just want to continue the show because I can certainly pull up 1997's most beautiful people.
I'll let you work on that. You can report back if you would like. We're back at
Jennifer
it Monday.
Lopez.
Live from Chiefs training camp in St. Joe.
Tony Braxton, Drew Barrymore.
The Drive is coming up next.
Cody and Gold, live from training camp, presented by Ingredion, located in North Kansas City. Learn more about a career at Ingredion.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.